If you'd open your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 2, we've been on this second chapter for a couple of Sundays now, and we've been talking about Jesus, the unique Savior, and we looked in the first week of the uniqueness of His coming. He came humbly, and He came holy. He was without sin, and then we looked at last message was the uniqueness of His conquest. We saw the conquest last Sunday, the price that He paid for that conquest. We saw the power, but we also saw the pain of it as well. It cost a great amount. So today we're going to look at Jesus, the unique Savior, and we're going into the third and final point here on the unique. He was unique in His commendation. And when we think about Him being unique in His commendation, we're going to see how He was commended. He was commended. We see Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's reminding us that nobody ever came into the world like Jesus. That was His coming. Very, very unique. Remember, if you would, when we think about the word unique, we're talking about existing as the only one. That's the definition, or I should say that's one of the definitions for unique. Existing as the only one. The other one was having no equal. And Jesus has no equal, amen, in His coming, in His area of conquest, but He is just what we would consider incomparable. And so we're going to talk about His commendation today. And let's begin reading in verse 5. That's where we actually began this 3 points here. And when we get down to verse number 9 through 11, those will be what we'll focus on today. But let me read our whole setting here, beginning with verse number 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now we're going to get into the uniqueness of His commendation. "Wherefore, based upon what's been read, God," this is the Father, "also hath highly exalted Him, the Son, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess," declare, "that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we look at these last three verses, verse 9, 10, and 11, may You give us wonderful insight, dear Father, that would stir us and see how grateful we should really be, how much He deserves our worship for what He has done. And Father, we pray that through it all, You and You alone, as the Scriptures say, would receive the glory. And we ask, Father, that You would just bless this time today. Be with those that are not able to be with us, whether traveling, whether sickness, dear Father. Keep them safe, raise them up, and bring them again for the following services. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, in verse number 9, it begins with "wherefore God," talking about the Father. And at the end, it ends with God the Father being glorified. You know, that's exactly what He wants to do, is glorify Himself even through our lives, you know. He's trying to conform us to the image of His Son. When we were reading in Revelation this morning, when John was writing in verse number 11, he says, "Thou therefore, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power." And then he tells his wife, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure we are and were created." It's an amazing thought that God even, number one, thinks upon us. Amen. That is an amen right there taking place. I want you to understand, they haven't got it down yet, but that's, I'll take that as an amen. That baby right there was created for His pleasure. You know what's amazing about that baby is that all of us were like that at one point in time. Believe it or not, somebody was holding Glenn. What a wonderful Savior we have. As we think of His unique and His commendation, because of the love of God that He displayed and the price that He paid for my sins, for your sins, and for the sins of all the world. From now to eternity, His love will never end, never cease, never run dry. And we are told here in our text, because of all that Jesus Christ did in fulfilling the will of the Father highly exalted Him. He has highly exalted Jesus. The phrase here, when you look it up in the New Testament Greek, means to raise to the utmost of majesty. There's no higher level. There's no level above where God the Father raised God the Son. He could not have exalted Him any higher. He highly exalted Him. He raised Him to the utmost, the rank of supreme majesty. This is the one in Revelation 4 that John saw that caused the beast to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," and led the elders to drop to their faces from their chairs that they're sitting on and take their gold crowns off and slide them over to the throne. There are three areas mentioned in our text here in which God has highly exalted Jesus. Three of them to present or to make mention of why Jesus is worthy of your and my praise. And I believe that He is. The first area that He commends Him in is that He is commended in His name. The Bible tells us clearly, we are told that He has been given a name that is above every name, and that name is Jesus. It is Jesus. At the mention of that name, the Bible says that every knee will bow down. I go in Tuesday for knee surgery. I've never had surgery before except for cataracts, now my knee. And I had made mention last week, I told the Lord, "Please be easy on me. If you want to call me home, take me home. Don't do it one piece at a time." So I go in Tuesday to get my left knee taken care of. You know why? Not because it has a torn meniscus, that's the reason, but it's got to get ready for that bowing process. It's got to be ready to bow down there and stay down there a long time. And right now, it's not ready for a long time kneel, all right? So He is commended in His name. The word that God uses here, as the Holy Spirit is having Paul write, we think of the word name as how we would do it. It's a title of an individual. And that's true here as well. But the word name here is the Greek word huper, H-U-P-E-R. And it not only means that, but it literally means He was given a name, it says, that is above every name. But it also carries the intent that He was given a name in the behalf and for the sake of everyone else, everybody else's name. You can take Don, you can take Kevin, you can take Vonda, you can take Bonnie, you can take everybody's name in here, everybody's name out there playing baseball, everybody's name around the world, and He was given a name above everybody else's name, but it's for the sake of all the other names. It's named. And His goal is that you would repent of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord, and be saved so that your name can be written in His book of life, the Lamb's book of life, where your name would be found. So it's not only a name that's highly exalted above every name, but it was exalted because of what He did for every other person who is named. It's kind of cool, I think. At the mention of that simple name, more has been done in this world through the agency of that name and the power that goes with it. People have gone around the world preaching the name. We close our prayers in Jesus' name wherever we're praying, congregationally, individually, in our prayer closets. More has been done through the name of Jesus Christ than any other name that can be mentioned from time to end. Now, there's a lot of people who have good names, who have done a lot of good things. You take all of the good things that good people have done, and it doesn't even combine them. It's not a comparison to the name which is above every name. The one that God, the Father, highly exalted. We have a song that we sing, Jesus is the sweetest name that I know. I want to add to that, Jesus is the sweetest name to ever fall upon human ears. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but at the name of Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name should be a cause of celebration in heaven. We see that the four beasts begin crying out, holy, holy, holy. I mean, that's going through heaven. And it's so moving that the elders are in their white robes, got golden crowns, in positions of authority, if you would, and they understand the true authority that they have comes from the throne, and they fall down and put their crowns in front of him. And yet, we offer so little many times down here. We sing the song, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. And we mean it by, I'm not going to get too excited about this. That name, the name of Jesus, the mention of it, strikes fear in the world of darkness. When Jesus come walking and gets out of the boat, and there is a man who everybody knows who he is. He's a maniac of Gadara. People cannot, they bind him and he breaks the bind. Nobody can go around. They're scared to death. Jesus steps out of the boat, walks towards him, and he comes running at him. And all of a sudden, he slides onto his knees. And the first question that comes out, art thou come to torment us before our time? The demonic influence knows they are on a timed schedule. They know at the end of the time they will be tormented for their decision. Amen. When I was reading this morning in my devotions, we were reminded that there was a war in heaven. Satan and his angels against Michael and his angels. Understand, God didn't even get involved. He just let the angels deal with the angels. And by the way, Michael threw him out. The Bible says that he took him and he thrust him out of heaven, for there was no more room for his antics. Jesus is talking to his disciples one day, and Jesus is not involved in that. The Father wasn't involved. It was the angelic beings who fought against him. Satan. So Michael had the authority and power over Satan to throw him out. But even as Michael is contending with Satan over the body of Moses, he didn't say, remember what I did to you last time? He just said, the Lord rebuke you. And that was sufficient. The Lord, who is he referring to? That name. That name. And then as I started to make mention of Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he recalls something. He recalls an event that he witnessed and was there when it happened that was not taking place here on earth. He told the disciples, he goes, you know, I remember I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He saw that day when Michael thrust him out. The one who has the name that is above all names. And when that name is made mention of, the name and the blood. The Bible says in the tribulation saints, when they're being persecuted, and they overcame him, the wicked one, by the word of their testimony, that they loved not their life till death. And one more thing, what was it, you remember? The blood. The blood, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. They were willing to lay it down, just like the three Hebrews. Sacrifice for that name. It's that name, and I can only speak for myself, it's that name that's highly exalted by God that changed my life. It's that name that saved my soul back in 1979. It's that name that opened my eyes and opened my understanding and helped me to understand I was condemned and to convince me that He died to pay my condemnation price. He is commended in His name. Wherefore, God has highly exalted Him in verse 9 and given Him a name which is above every name. The second thing we see here is that He was also commended in His fame. In His fame. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. We are told here by Paul that there is a day coming. It's on the calendar of God. There's a day coming and it's getting closer. The Bible says that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I have been saved for 47 years, and I'm 47 years closer to the coming of Christ. But He says there's on the calendar of God, there's coming a day that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, because of, He's commended for His fame, of every person will bow before Him and ultimately confess that He is the Lord. One day, the devil himself. Y'all remember when the devil tempted Jesus? And in one of the temptations, he says, I will give you, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world at one time. He says, all of these things will I give you if you will just bow down, bend your knee, and worship me. Well, there's coming a day when Jesus is there and Satan is there and they're going to say, Jesus. And they'll go down on their knees, every single one of them. Satan will bow before Jesus and Satan will honor Him. Every demon will declare out of their lips, Jesus, You are the Lord. It's interesting. Every person, He says, everybody in heaven, that's the angelic beings, then everybody on earth, He says, everybody under the earth, those who have passed on, every single person from the very first Adam to whoever is the last person ever to be born. Have you ever thought about that? There's going to be a last person to be born one day. And whoever that person is every single person from the beginning of time till the end when time shall be no more will bow their knee and will confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory. The word glory there in the Greek is doxa, doxa. We talk about the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. They will all declare him as Lord for the glory of God the Father. And as I was thinking about every knee, every tongue, I started thinking, wow, we live in a world right now of 8 billion people. That's a lot of people. If I could just convince each one of them to give me $1. I used to have a little thing I'd put on Facebook every once in a while. I did it almost once a year for a while. That had a guy there with a little coin machine there in front of him. And it just says, if you would send me $1, I will tell you how to earn money for absolutely $1 online. In other words, if they would give me a dollar, I'd tell them, here, do the same thing I'm doing. I'd tell everybody to give you a dollar. 8 billion plus people is a lot. But here's what I did. My mind started thinking, well, that's not the total number of people. And I started thinking, now, I don't think we can ever find out how many have been born, but he says every knee and every tongue. And so I looked up on some areas and talked about key factors influencing the estimate of how many people have lived, and it's coming from a biblical perspective. And it's interesting that the biblical perspective has less number of people than the worldview, because they have millions of years. So we're basing it off a 6,000-year young earth mindset here. It says here, the starting population, humanity, began with 2 people. That's hard to even imagine. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with the vastness of numbers, but to think that this world started with just 1, 2. And that's what Scripture teaches. The starting of the population, humanity, began with 2 people, Adam and Eve, approximately 6,000 years ago. And then we have what they put in. This is by, according to Answers in Genesis, the flood reset. Because there would have been a lot more people that would have been born in that short time that were not because of the flood reset. And so according to Answers in Genesis, the world population was reset to just 8 people, if you remember. There would be Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. That was around estimated 4,500 years ago. And then they have what they call rapid growth potential. And what they established is that figuring the time frame of from creation to the flood and from the flood to now, giving it the difference of time, they estimate that there was probably anywhere between 35 to 40 billion people. Rough estimate, that's all it is, knowing that we're at 8 billion right now. That from that point to where we are is, could be around 35 to 40 billion. The worldview, which is evolutionists in their mindset, are pushing closer to 100 billion. Because there was a lot more time that could be credited. What I'm getting at is it's enormous. If it's 80 or 90, if it's 30 or 50 billion, that's a lot of people all at one time when the announcement of the name of Jesus, which has been highly exalted, and now we're seeing he's commended for his fame, that when he is named, his name is called out, that you're going to hear billions of knees all hit the ground at one time. And you're going to hear billions of tongues declaring, Jesus is Lord, all at one time. Folks, that's not going to be a quiet time. There, when you have that many people not even talking and just getting down on their knees, you'll hear that movement. When we lived in New Hampshire, they had winters up there in the mountains, and snow would begin to fall. It was always early season was a good season. You could walk out your front door, and we were up in the mountains, and you could smell wood stoves and fireplaces burning. Man, there's nothing like on a cool morning and to smell that aroma out going through the mountain range there. And then it would start snowing more and more, and if you did it at just the right time, because there was no sound up there. Matter of fact, when we went to bed at night and you turned the lights off, there was no street lights. There was no light except whatever God provided. And a lot of that was covered because there were so many mountains and trees. But you could go out, and some of those snowflakes would be huge, quarter-sized, half-dollar-sized snowflakes. You could go out there, crunch, 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 crunch. And there's no noise. And you could hear those snowflakes fall, and you could hear the noise of them coming down and landing. It was so cool, because it was cold, but it was so cool also the other way. When billions of people go down on their knees, you will hear that noise, just like an army going, because it's going to be instantaneous. There's not going to be anybody resisting. And everyone will declare, Jesus is Lord. Every lost sinner will bow before Him. Every lost sinner will give glory to Him. The devil himself will bow down to Him. The devil himself will give glory to Him. Every demon will bow down to Him. Every demon will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Understand why this commendation here is so important, is because the name of Jesus is not being exalted today down here. Throughout history, the name has been ridiculed. The name is mocked. It's ignored. It's used as a four-letter curse word. It's brought down from that to filth. No wonder he says that many will blaspheme it. We're not to take the Lord's name in vain, use it in an empty manner because of how special it is to the Father. And truly the day is coming when that name and that person it represents will receive the glory, the honor, and the praise that Revelation 4:11 says. And we can shout, hallelujah. The day has arrived. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. We see that He is commended for His name. He's commended for His fame. And He is commended in His claim. You see, God, the Father, declares Jesus, the Son, as Lord. It's coming from Him. He is Lord. And if He is Lord, then He is worthy of your love, your submission, your obedience, your worship. If He is Lord, He's worthy of, that word doesn't come out very easy, all your time. It is His day today, all day. He is worthy of your talents. He's worthy of your treasure. If He is Lord, He deserves number one, first place in your life, in your decision making, first place in your hearts, first place in our decisions. And folks, I'll tell you what, in the church, that is not even happening today in most areas. People are so unconvicted about one day they're going to stand before him, even though he's their Savior, and we can just decide how what we're going to do today, whether we're going to go to church today. I mean, churches are empty today because people that are professing to know him are not seeing him as Lord. And so we're not just excited about him at all. It's no big deal. I'm going to heaven. Are you? Are you? When Paul was writing to Titus, he wrote to Titus in chapter 1, and he says, they profess, they say that they know God, but in works, the things that they should be doing, they deny him. Did you catch that? In works, the things that they should be doing according to Scripture, he says, they deny that. They don't do it. He goes, they have become abominable. That's lukewarmness. That's where Jesus said, I'm going to spit you out. It's like, take it. Oh, that's sickening. It's abominable. The interesting thing about Jesus is that one day people are going to stand before him and say, Lord, did we not do this in your name? And did we not do this? He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. There's a lot of people who are not going to get to heaven who are saying they're going to be in heaven. There's a lot of people who are not Christians because they've never made Jesus their Savior and Lord. And their lifestyle is evidence. That's the fruit. We can't see what happens into the heart of a man, but we can see what's coming out of that lifestyle. And when you stop and think that there's a lot of people that are going to stand before Jesus as Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you, and they think and they thought that they knew him and were living for him. We did this in your name and this in your name. They even did things in that name. And he says, I never knew for you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You lived a lawless life. And yet you can go around and ask every single Christian you know, and they don't think that that's who they are, that they're one of them. I'll guarantee you, nobody here believes that you're one of those people. Correct? And yet, they were convinced if they were in our meeting today that they were not one of them too. Because they thought they were. Let a man examine himself and prove that he is in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ, he says, basically did all the work, died for you. And he goes, you guys are just reprobate. Reprobate. He is Lord. And if he is Lord of your life, if you declare that Jesus is Lord, then let him be Lord. Let him be the one that calls the shots. Let him be the one that says, this way is the way we're going. Let him be the one that says, this is what I want you to do today. Let him be the one that receives the worship. When Luke was writing the book of Acts, he says something very interesting in Acts 10:36. He says, the word which God sent unto them, the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And then he puts in brackets, he is Lord of all. That's in your Bible. He is Lord of all. And if he is the Lord of your life, then he should be Lord of all of your life. Because there came a day when you, who were one of the whosoever, you called upon that name of the Lord. I've actually heard over the years, I don't hear it very often, thank the Lord, where people say, well, I've made Jesus my Savior, but I haven't made him my Lord. Do you know you cannot separate those two? You can't separate those two. He is Lord whether you acknowledge it or not. He is Lord whether I acknowledge it or not. But how much better it is for us to show and honor him as our Lord by loving him and adoring him. All of those things, by the way, he deserves. How many of you could remember in your heart or even physically bowing down before him and calling upon the name of the Lord? Who can say amen to that? You did that for your salvation. When was the last time? I'm not talking about just a regular time of prayer. But when was the last time that you just, as hard as it may be as you get older sometimes, huh? To get down there. You may have a hard time getting down because of age and a harder time getting back up, but he is still worthy of that. And just bend. The word bow means to bend the knee. And just say, Lord Jesus, I just want to rededicate myself to you today to be my Lord of all my life. And I just ask this for you, the Father's glory in Jesus' name. And then rise back up, and that within itself is sufficient. If you don't know him for sure today, today is a great day to bow the knee. You're better off bowing the knee today than putting it off and bowing when you have to do it. When every knee has to do it. Do it because you want to honor him. You want to be saved. He is our unique Savior. He was unique in his coming, in his conquest, and in his commendation. I praise his name this morning that he came into this world, was born without sin, lived a life without sin, died for sin. No sin, no sin, for sin. My life was I was born in sin, lived a life of sin, and then he died and took my sin. I thank God that he rose from the dead, amen? I thank God that he ascended back to heaven. And he's waiting on the Father to say, it is time. Go get your bride. I'm glad that I'm redeemed today. That I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I should glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are the Lord's. Do you know him today? Is he your Savior? And do you allow him to be Lord of your life? I think that today would be a great day because it's his day. That if you're not saved, that you would bow the knee and call upon him to save you. And then if you are saved, that you would bow the knee. In the chair where you're at the altar up here, that you would bend the knee and just let him know, Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord today. And the day after. And the day after, that you are to be the Lord of my life from this time forward. As difficult as that could be physically. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then the Father says, and then I will exalt you in due time, like I've exalted my Son, his name, above heaven and earth and every name that is to be named. Taking time to thank him, showing gratitude to him, is letting him know that he is the Lord of your life. Let's stand. We'll close out with a hymn. And if you feel led of the Lord, then you take time where you're at or up here and do it today. Not because I'm telling you, but because it's the right thing. And what a good way to practice what's coming. Amen. Brother Tim, why don't you come? I'll close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this, and we ask, Lord, that you and you alone, the Holy Spirit, would do a work. May you shake something in us. Wake us to a reality. that Christianity is more than just going to church, sitting through a sermon, and then going off and living the way we want. Truly, if Father, you highly exalted him, how much more do we need to as well in acknowledging him as our Lord? Glorify yourself now as we sing this hymn and have this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.